Today's episode of Zero Block 30 is brought to you by our friends at Starbucks. We just got done doing a Starbucks trip. We have been traveling all over. We're in San Antonio now. We've gone to Seattle, San Diego, Dallas, and now we are in San Antonio. We just spent a full day doing dog training stuff, going to the military family store with our partnership with Starbucks. And what's different about this partnership is they're not asking us to get you to buy anything. Like, if you do go buy coffee, great. But they're not asking you to buy anything. They just want to point out some of the things that they're doing with veterans. Like the fact that they've hired 17,000 veterans and military spouses since 2013. And they're increasing the number and the commitment to 25,000 by 2025. Starbucks has also partnered with Team Red, White, and Blue, Team Rubicon, The Mission Continues, as a way for more people to honor and serve veterans and the military spouses. Starbucks has 45 military family stores and military communities across America. You might notice a difference if you listen to every single episode of Zero Block 30. Just last week, we said it was 43 military family stores. They've opened two more, and we went to one of those today. It's awesome. They have 132 planned by 2022 military family stores are a place where the veteran community can work, unwind, and connect. They're doing all kinds of stuff like Military Monday, where you can get transition help. If you talk to one of the managers there and you're a veteran or veteran spouse, they promise to find a spot for you and to do things for you and your family. I'm excited about this partnership, and it's not just because their coffee is good. It's because what they're doing for veterans and their family members are good as well. Let's start the fucking episode. Let's go.
Let me buy you coffee so you can feel good and you start with your day. Tell me what you want, cappuccino or latte or a hot chocolate. I don't mind what you say. Let me take you Starbucks, cause only $5. Let me take you Starbucks, cause only $5. Let me take you Starbucks, cause only $5.
Alright, so we are live at my house. The whole squad's at my house.
It's true. I'm on the mega chair. Yeah, well, Connor's not here.
Can we talk about Connor for a second?
Sure.
I feel bad.
Because I know.
Connor's been like texting in the group chat, like, hey guys, what's going on? I feel like he's got to have the worst FOMO.
Serious FOMO, because we are doing the iFly, like indoor skydiving.
Like, what are you guys doing? We're super busy surfing.
Yeah.
And parachuting shit. And
yep. We're doing all the coolest stuff. We're traveling to so many fun cities and poor cons, yeah.
Cons, but this podcast would not be what it is without Connor.
Anyway, it's true.
Enough about Connor.
Yeah.
Enough about him.
Go West Point.
So you're here in San Antonio. Your initial thoughts?
Oh my gosh. So we got in last night. We flew from Dallas to San Antonio. Didn't get to the hotel till like almost 9 o'clock. I was going to turn it in for the night. And I said, Kate, that's not your style. So I finally went out and got one of those Lime scooters that you see all over town. San Antonio's full of them. I went scoot goofing at night.
Yeah. I woke up. I came home, hung out with my wife. We actually watched the Great British Baking Show Masterclass.
Oh.
Thing where the judges actually teach you how to do it. It was lovely. Had a night in. It was nice. But I woke up this morning and saw your Instagram story. It's like, there goes Kate. Like, just hanging out at La Quinta Inn.
Yeah. I found a scooter in the parking lot of the La Quinta Inn when I was walking to the Riverwalk, because I'm a dumb tourist. And I decided to, like, try it out. I could not figure out how to start it. It turns out you have to, like, pedal it and get it to like really start going with your foot. So this La Quinta security guard, this like, no offense to him, I'm a dork too, so I got it, but like this dorky teen, like he looked like he was like 18 or 19, like long hair, acne or whatever. And we figured it out together. He like came over and helped me out. So I let him take it for a spin around the La Quinta.
We did a little scoot goofing too.
And he was like, man, you could get so many Pokemon with this thing. He thought it'd be great to scoot goof while you played the Pokemon game, which I didn't know people were still playing. But then I scooted to the Riverwalk. There are lots of hazards along the way. A lot of brick streets in your town.
So the main reason why we're in San Antonio so we can go to the dog school, which is the reason why I'm in San Antonio.
Yep.
I came down to San Antonio to be the lead marine instructor at the school, and it was wonderful. I love my time taking you there and letting you see just a little bit inside of what my day-to-day life was like while I was in the school. It was pretty cool, and showing not just you, but showing Bren and showing Tal, our Starbucks guy, and showing Rob and Porter, just letting people see the inside of what I actually did because I love my job. I was passionate about being a dog handler. I think it's the best job in the Marine Corps.
And it was cool. You could tell as soon as we got on base, you kind of perked up a little bit and you kind of had like a swagger to your walk. And like, you can tell it was contagious. You could tell you were excited about it. Even though I was scared shitless, I was excited because you were excited.
I was so close to turning into Staff Sergeant me. Like,
yeah,
there were certain things that were going on in the dog community that I was like, okay, this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. Like when I was going through the different things, just because I had been trained so long, like that's my job, that's my specialty. I knew what things should be, what things shouldn't be. And it's still at this very moment, like when we walk by some boots, I'm like, okay, bitch, say something.
Yeah. Oh, good. Don't say good morning.
Okay,
don't.
Okay, good. And you said the same thing. When we walked out of the Starbucks on base, whenever we saw the captain out there, you're like, ooh.
I almost, like, instinctively, I almost went to salute him because I could see my cover over my head. And I was like, oh, yeah, salute. My hands were full of snacks, as usual. So I was like, oh, no. And it was just a split second in my head, but I kind of reverted back. But it was really exciting. I have to say, probably the scariest thing I've done in a while.
Yeah.
My adrenaline, we've done all sorts of, like, adrenaline kind of stuff on this trip. My adrenaline was so high, I was shaking, and I legitimately almost backed out of, because I got to put on the big suit and get attacked by a dog today, and I literally almost backed out.
This dog was big, he was fast, he was very clearly strong, and I think it was one that I went first, so you could kind of see what it was like, and I think...
And it didn't make me feel any better.
You could tell the power in this dog's... I mean, still here, I mean, we all wore protective equipment. Sitting here, I'm like, I haven't had a bruise like on my forearm because of that in a long time.
Yeah.
And you were saying your ribs hurt, your side hurts, like from...
It knocked me hard on my tailbone. Like, that dog knocked me to the ground.
And they were like, stand up, Kate, stand up. You're like, I can't.
I was trying, and it was thrashing like a shark. What?
I think that's the most shocking part when you really catch a strong dog. The power that the dog has, not just in its bite, but just in its limbs, where its core is so strong, where if it wants to pull you to the ground... You're going to the ground.
And there was one point where two full-grown men were trying to help me up, and the dog, they got me up, and then the dog pulled me back down again. And I was like, no, not
this
again.
Yeah. Timer for ZBT.
Yeah.
I think it's easily the best video that we did on this trip. But we did so many, not just, I don't want to focus on this too much.
We'll get
to the dog video whenever that one actually is released. But I want to focus more on the guys that we talked to in Dallas.
Oh, man.
Yesterday and the day before that.
That was the coolest. I felt so motivated when I walked. I can't remember the last time I felt super moto. And I walked out of there feeling super moto and super good.
I mean, the guys were just absolutely, you'll hear in just a second. But Dave Rabora is the guy that started it. He started this foundation called Adaptive Training Foundation. And what they do is they take veterans and family members of veterans and also just people who are disabled in general. It's not just something that just for veterans, but anybody who's disabled, teaches them how to be active again. If they go to a gym, how they can improvise, adapt, and overcome.
Right.
In a Marine Corps phrase of how they can do things again. And I think it's really, really contagious of how they do it. But to give Dave's background, because I don't think we really talked about it a whole lot in the interview, he was Mr. Irrelevant. Kate, you want to explain what Mr. Irrelevant is?
Yeah, he was the very last round draft pick in what, 20?
I'm not sure what year.
Early 20, like after sometime after 2010.
Last pick of the seventh round.
Very, very last round pick of the seventh round. And then the following year, he was starting.
Yeah, he became a starter, a linebacker. His story
in the NFL
and how he got out, and he was addicted to opiates because a lot of things that happens in the NFL, you get prescribed pain pills. I think that NFL players, former NFL players and veterans can understand that. Like when you go to a doctor and you say, I'm in pain, a lot of times they just throw medicine at your face.
Yep.
And it goes down. And so many veterans, so many former NFL players become addicted to opiates because of that. Dave dealt with that struggle in a way that has worked.
Yep.
And he really got back into fitness and is helping other people. And the work that they're doing, just talking to some of these veterans, whether it's a triple amputee, a double amputee, somebody who's broken their back. There, we talked to a downhill skier who broke his back and is there learning how to be a professional downhill skier in the Paralympic world. They all love this guy, and they are inspired by him.
It's
easy to see why his personality is contagious. We won't wait any longer. Here's the interview that we did with Dave.
We are here in the conference room, the most lovely conference room of the Adaptive Training Gym It is in the heart of Texas, right outside of Dallas. We are joined by two footballers who have changed their course and are doing amazing things for people with disabilities in this country. You take different classes, what, every like semester almost, and you pick people to come here and learn that they can face the challenges in front of them. So can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think the point, you hit it earlier, if you treat people broken, they act broken. You know, I think the medical community at some point, cash runs out, insurance runs out, and then people with disabilities, no matter how that came to be, they say, what's next? Or where do I go? And how do I find a place to better myself? And I've just been one as a former Mr. Irrelevant and somebody that I felt like Colin, too, had to climb and scratch and claw to try to make it in the league. You know, now we've had this opportunity to expand what the league taught us and repurpose it in here to look people in their eyes and see the potential in them more than what they see is broken in them. And that's just a way to create a gym program around focusing on what you can do, not what you can't do.
That's good. And Colin and Dave, how did you two link up?
Yeah, it was Match.com. It was a dark time in my life. No. I shout out to my beautiful wife, Sarah, and our two beautiful girls. Now, Colin was running the marketing arm, Tocito's account. And I heard about the gym through a Navy SEAL where I actually founded the gym. And when I met him, he just fit. It was just like, dude, this guy has to be here. And I know I couldn't pay him what he needed, that's for sure. But I knew that he would come alive in this atmosphere. So, I mean, talk about what that transition's been like for you.
Yeah, I mean, I learned about David through another Navy SEAL who came and spoke at our agency. And as soon as I heard about what he had going on here, I just wanted to be a part of it. I was never military, but my grandparents, both my grandfathers were. And it was something that I always wanted. And being an NFL player, we sort of had that no quit mindset. And it was even for David. I mean, after we finished looking for a place for ourselves, the military was one of the first options that came to my mind as something to try to be a part of. So when I heard about the Adaptive Training Foundation and the work that they did with the military, it was a natural fit for me wanting to be a part of that. And it started out with me just training some of the guys. I'm recent to the team. I'm new to the team, but it's so addicting. The atmosphere, how it's that team atmosphere that I'm so used to in the NFL, and what a lot of these guys are used to in the military.
And let's talk about the atmosphere, because I think that's really important. This gym versus other gyms that I've seen, where physical therapy is fucking tough. Yeah. Like mentally, physically, it's tough. And it's more tough when you feel like you are a broken person. From my own experiences, I saw my dad have a stroke and go into a training facility where everything, when you go in there, it just feels like sad sack Sally. Everything is completely beat down. Yeah. This is a different place. So, Dave, explain like kind of the process of your vision for the gym and when people walk in, what they expect to see, man, or what you want them to see.
Yeah, if you bring Stoke, everybody else brings Stoke. And, like, I know that sounds very surfer, Cali, West Coast guy in me, but no, like, how do we make this exciting and fun, athletic, right? These people, they oftentimes don't see themselves as athletes. Mm-hmm. And the Bill Bowerman is that if you have a human body, you're an athlete, whether you're competing at sport or not. So the experience shapes a belief, which changes the behavior, which creates a result. A gym that says, you have this behavior, you'll get these results, dude, that's not sustainable. For us, we can create something that's an atmosphere where it's fun, it's pushing each other, and it's kind of preying on the deeper fear. Like, I was training one of our outstanding police officers who's back on the force. He's actually the deputy director of homicide in Denver, above knee amputee, fell through a roof on a homicide case. Wow. Now he's full active duty, pistol quals, everything passed. It's badass.
Yeah.
But this guy one day was swinging the sledgehammer and in this tire. He was working hard, but I knew there was another layer. I knew there was something underneath that. So I walked up to him and just kind of whispered in his ear, and I said, next time, this next set, I want you to think about every time that you've snapped on your wife and kids since this happened. And he, boom.
Yikes.
Boom, yeah. Right?
And that's real shit.
That's real. And then I went to him a little farther, and I said, this time, I want you to think about the time that night when you took too much sleeping medicine, too much pain medicine, and you hoped you wouldn't wake up. And boom, and he went to work. And now there's tears streaming down his face, but he's healing, right? Mm-hmm. Beating the hell out of that tire and doing something that everybody in the gym notices. That's contagious. That enthusiasm becomes something that's great. And that's how we heal.
Yeah.
It's not so much going, oh man, like this therapy is the gym. It's being in a situation where you're allowed to be that vulnerable, and then through that, the byproduct that happens is courage, and everybody sees it, so it makes it okay for themselves. And that's why I'm passionate about creating an atmosphere where there's no mirrors. Took them all down. You're not there to work on. You're there to work on yourself, not look at yourself.
Oh, that is weird. You know? Yeah. I know, but now it makes sense, like that there is no mirrors, because when I go to the gym. Don't get me wrong. I don't go to the gym.
Well, if you did, you would for sure look at yourself. Oh, I mean, that, right?
Yeah, I couldn't go in there because it would take like 3 hours to do something because I'd be taking so many selfies. Be like, I'm here, guys. Don't worry about it.
If you just take enough pre-workout, it doesn't matter. Your heart gets a workout. And
that's all that really matters. Tell us the story of the veteran on the wall. We talked about that, and there's going to be a video that comes out, so you'll be able to see everything, so it'll make a little bit more sense in that. But there is a gentleman on the wall. Tell us that story.
Yeah, Private First Class Carlos Colon. Born in Puerto Rico, he said when he saw the news as a young boy, he saw American troops on the news, and he said, that's what I want to do. So it was just clear for him and what he wanted. He enlisted in the Army when he was 18, and it took him off the streets for really a great purpose, as many as your Marines, brothers and sisters know, right? Mm-hmm. Some discipline can evoke a total different change in their life. But Carlos was on the turret of the Humvee and the 50 cal when an RPG, armor-piercing RPG came in and blew up. And when it did, he kind of raised his hand up like to his face, essentially, where the armor plating was. And it blew up, and it blew off the left side of his hand, blew out his ears, and it blew off the whole left side of his face, his skull, and his eye was hanging down. And he was actually continuing to fight. He was still on the gun when his team leader looked up to see not just blood running down, but his face completely peeled off. And they restrained him and took him down. They got him medevaced out. He was in a coma for a little over 3 months. When he woke and came to, they said, you're not going to make this past a 13-year-old development. And he looked him dead in his eyes, as only Carlos could, and said, I'm going to run a marathon. He's now ran 8 marathons, 2 full Ironman, 2 of them in under 12 hours. Like,
wow.
What? I mean, he makes me look bad as his trainer. And we call and I are like, yeah, we played in the league, but there's nothing this guy can't do. He's like the Terminator. He's not to mention a single dad of 2 kids.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are the moments. And again, people all the time say, aren't you just inspired every day? I'm like, yes, but inspiration washes off.
Mm-hmm.
It's aspiration. What am I doing with this thing that inspires me to look back at myself? And I feel like all the athletes here are a mirror into our own soul to ask, what are we leaving on the table?
Do you think it's a visible thing whenever somebody hits that point where they like go over the almost like a depression mountain where they look on the other side and like, oh, I might be able to do it. Sounded like when we were talking to a gentleman that was out there earlier that he's reached that point. He's on his last week and he's like, yeah, I couldn't run. I'm running now. I couldn't do any of those things. Is there a look that comes on somebody's face when they reach that precipice and they are going over the other side?
Yeah, sometimes it takes 2 weeks, 10 weeks, 2 years. Heck, that Marine that I stopped in the parking lot that Starbucks did the Upstanders feature on, I mean, that's a perfect example of somebody who it took him a while. I mean, there was that movie or that documentary makes it seem like it was just like overnight. But there's 80 to 100 hours invested in the gym, nights when he was gone, days without talking with him, driving up to his house, guns out, boarded windows, drugs everywhere, like with my wife trying to get him out of that hole. But eventually it happens, which is the perspective to shift from, look, there's pain. Pain is inevitable. Suffering's optional, that old adage. The suffering mindset shifts when that perspective clicks. And I think that everyone in this room, as we're all nodding, Colin, Kate, all of us have had the moment of that switch happening. Mm-hmm. And I think what it is we're trying to – we can't make it happen. We can't tell them when it's going to happen. We just have to get their trust, earn their trust enough, and then be like the guide that's putting cues out in front for them to discover that awakening in themselves.
That's really cool. And I just had a final question. One other thing that is really cool about this gym is that I feel like it's so easy. If you are missing a leg or you have something that you need to help work on, you can't go to a regular gym sometimes because the equipment is not for you. It just isn't a good fit. It doesn't work. So has that been a challenge? Have you, like, some of these machines are adaptive. Did you guys do that yourselves, or how do you make that happen? And like, how do you figure out the needs of everybody?
Well, it's not only just having adaptive equipment. It's teaching these guys how to adapt to the equipment that they have available to themselves.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of them from out of town, they're not going to be able to have the type of space we have here in Dallas.
Right.
So we teach them how to use the equipment that's at their home gym or at the LA Fitness down the street or wherever that they're used to and most comfortable working out at. Mm-hmm. It's how to use that stuff to continue and better themselves. That way, yes, we do have some equipment that is better for these athletes, but it's teaching them how to adapt to their surroundings.
You guys are Marines, so you were underfunded, undermanned. Yes. Right? And how cool was it when you MacGyvered your way out of something, right? Like, every other branch had better gear, better things, and you're like, no, but with a stick of gum, a pack of mustard, and this, like, we can blow this up.
I mean, it's true. Even with, like, podcasting equipment, when I'm at home, I like, when I MacGyver things together that shouldn't go together and it makes it work, I'm like, still got it.
But that's the point. It's like, we want... You know, that the hand up approach, not hand out, and then for them to have something in their toolkit, not just in the physical. We even use a lot of mindfulness exercises, right? Like getting the guy to remember his breath as an anchor and to be able to acknowledge times where he's reactive and not consciously responding, whether it's his wife, the person that cut him off on the way to the gym. You know, things can trigger post-traumatic stress, but it's about how you ground yourself back to the present moment, acknowledge with what is and accept kind of what is. Like, yeah, that guy just cut me off, but does that have to ruin my day? No. And as soon as you start to get a lot of people around you, they're acting that same way, it becomes contagious and you start to act like that. Yeah. So it's good.
One of my favorite parts about the gym too is your sympathy or excuse box. Yeah. And I think that should be widespread uses in offices and homes across America. Yeah. Like my little five-year-old, when she starts pitching a fit because she doesn't have macaroni four nights out of five, I'm going to throw her a little ass in the sympathy box and be like, we feel sorry for you while you're standing in there. But the moment that you step out, it's back to the real world.
Yeah.
And you brought that from your last gym. Yeah. It's this little square of tape on the ground out there in the center of the gym. And it says...
Sympathy box.
Yeah.
And if you want sympathy, you can stand in the box. You won't get it anywhere else.
As soon as I saw it, I hated it because I was like, I would totally be in there.
In there. What kind of stuff do you do for him?
We throw stuff at him. Yeah. Yell names at him. No, we used to have this belt-fed Nerf gun that was wicked, and we'd blast people up. Somehow that got lost in the move. We might have to re-up. So if you're listening and you'd like to send us a Nerf gun, send it to the Adaptive Training Fund. No, I'm just kidding.
If somebody's listening to the show and they want to get involved with your program, how can they do that?
Yeah, there's a number of ways. And I think it's whatever's authentic to them. They can buy a T-shirt online or a hat that goes directly
to
this.
And they look great.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, they do.
You know, there's a ton of ways to sponsor athletes, to make pledges. But really, I would just consider them to share the story. I mean, that's what happens. Like, what you guys are doing with your platforms here is so significant. Because we don't know the person who's listening right now who is an adaptive athlete, who's going to end up in this program, who I'm going to be able to tell a story, and they're going to be able to proclaim a story that we're going to be a follow-up later. You know, and or somebody who funds somebody who connects us to somebody. And that's just the way that this has worked organically, and it's why it's so meaningful.
One last question on an NFL note. Did working in football to the highest level give you more cliches than you could have ever dreamed of would be like effective for the rest of your life?
Yes. The short answer is yes. Quick story. You know, the old adage, the coaches used to say this because in football we'd always, oh, coach, I got to stretch first. I'm not warm, coach. Like, that was the big. And so the coaches would say, does a lion need to stretch in the wild before it hunts Vibora? And I'm like, I don't know, coach. I've never seen a lion hunt in the wild. Right? Yeah. So one night, morning, because I'd gotten up, I went running with my dog. It's about 4:30 a.m. He had no wet food in-house, so I was going out to the garage carrying a butter knife in my hand because that's what I'm going to scrape his dog food out with. Mm-hmm. And I see a body just, boom, take off out of the garage, and I was on him, right? Like, ha, 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 just screaming, running after him, yelling some sadistic stuff. But in that moment, I thought, oh my God, coach was right. A lion doesn't need to stretch. Because I hit full top speed, didn't pull a hammy, nothing.
Yeah,
I ended up hawking this kid.
Could have gone a different way if you did pull that hammy. You're like, yeah, coach is full of shit.
Yeah, but at least I had a fact check. So I tackle this kid in this creek. I use the butter knife. I press in his neck as hard as I could. True story.
Yeah.
And he's like, fear of God, you know? Like, well, he said, are you going to kill me? I said, what's your name? He said, Nate. I said, Nate, how old are you? He said, 18. I said, so you're a man? He said, yes, sir. I said, you're not a man, you're a boy. You're making boy decisions. Let me tell you why this is the last bad decision you're going to make, right? So I'm like, follow me home. So we start walking back to my place. I'm like, what did you steal? Blah, blah, blah. And under his breath, he's like, how are you so fucking fast? Yeah. I'm like, I'm a retired NFL linebacker, bro. You chose the wrong garage to knock off. I've been drinking coffee and doing push-ups, right?
So we actually talked about that the other day because there was – what was the story of somebody – oh, the Marines that were on 8th and I that rushed into the fire.
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking about how we always have it. And me being a retired Marine, I'm sitting on the couch and my wife's like, did you hear that? I'm like, I wish a motherfucker would.
Yeah.
like you're ready.
Just come on. I'm ready. I even have like this little baseball bat in my wife's Tahoe.
Yeah, the regulator.
Then we put the logo. It says hot sauce because Beyonce put hot sauce in my bag. And so I want to bring hot sauce across somebody's head so bad. So bad.
Well, I got that moment. I got to physically impose my will on someone with no police report, scare the heck out of the kid. I told him, I was like, man, tomorrow you're going to go back and return everything you stole. If the people are pissed at you, send them to my house. Haven't seen old Nate on the block in a while, but cliche answer, check. A line does not need to stretch in the way.
There you go.
I mean, we can also just pick out the bullshit in there when we see guys that aren't going hard. I mean, every day working out at the highest level, trying to compete day in and day out, we know what it takes to maintain, to continue to excel. And so we can see athletes that they're just going to push it just to get by, and some of the trainers that they don't always see that. And it's times where David and I can come in and say, you know what, why don't you come on, hop over with me, we'll see what, if we can push that for you.
Well, don't look at me if I do any of these workouts.
You guys are working out with us, right? You guys are about to go crush it?
Yeah, a little bit, I got to stand in the sympathy fox for a few minutes before. But thanks.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. Yeah.
And where can they, what's the website name?
TeamATF.org. TeamATF.org.
AdaptiveTrainingFoundation.com.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, and you guys can go on social. It's Adaptive Training Foundation, man. Follow us, Adaptive Tribe, on Twitter. Fired up, you guys are here. We're gonna have a good day.
Let's do it.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Let's go.
Help, 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 right, help. Left, 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 right, left.
All right, so that was Dave. Obviously, you can see, super inspiring guy. You can see why Starbucks flagged him to be like, let's promote this dude.
Yeah.
Because what,
and what he's doing.
Pretty incredible. Also, one more last note about the dogs. We talked about how on Lackland, some of the best dog handlers are there because they're teaching all the dogs. Some of the best vets are there as well.
Veterinarians, yes. For a second, I was like, yeah, us vets are pretty cool. Yeah. But you're talking about veterinarians, and you told me a story today that, because I first brought it up, apparently Miley Cyrus's little sister's ex-boyfriend, because I'm sure the ZBT crew follows this, ate too many hot Cheetos, and he had
Lil Xan?
It was Lil Xan.
Oh.
Overdosed on hot Cheetos, apparently. Who knew? He's still alive, so I was about to say, rest in peace, Lil Xan. No, he's great. But he ate too many hot Cheetos, but that brought up a story from you about a military working dog vet.
Yeah, so I was in Okinawa whenever this happened, and anytime a military working dog is put down because they're too old and too aggressive to be adopted, handlers go out of their way to make the dog's last day just kind of amazing.
A beaut.
Yeah, so we would go and get Cheetos for the dogs, ice cream sandwiches, hamburgers, bacon. I think we went with this particular dog. We went to Burger King and we're like, give us a double cheeseburger with like 5 orders of bacon on that bitch.
Yeah.
Just load it down with bacon. So we came through, the dog's eating the hard Cheetos, you know, like the super hard ones.
Yeah.
Crunchies.
Yeah.
So he's eating that. He's eating the ice cream sandwich. He's loving life. We went and got every single tennis ball and Kong, like dog toy that we could get.
Yeah.
And put this dog into a room, and all the handlers came in, and we threw all the balls at one time.
It was
like buckets and buckets of toys. And the dog was like, it's
beautiful.
He was loving it. It was such a grand end to his life. And then we take him in, we give him the medicine at the kennel, so he's kind of knocked out when he gets it. So we give him a little treat, so he doesn't even realize that he's going to the vet, because most working dogs hate going to the vet.
Yeah.
So he never even realized that he went to the vet.
And this is a dog that's already, he's like elderly. Oh, it's his time to go. Yeah.
This particular dog was 13, had hip dysplasia.
Yeah.
Knocked out all of his teeth.
Okay.
He was on a steady diet of Consequin, which is a painkiller for dogs. It was
his time to go.
His
time.
And doing, sometimes putting a dog down is the most humane thing that you can do.
Yeah.
It's sad to talk about. But every time a working dog dies, they go through something called a necropsy, which is kind of like an autopsy for dogs.
Yeah.
And we had vets, and some of these vets are just fucking crazy. They just
have
like a screw loose. This one particular vet, the vet clinic in Okinawa, whenever they do the necropsies, they would do them outside. Because you don't have to have like the clinical things, and you don't want to open up dogs as much as they have to open them up, because you have to do parts by parts and send
them
to Lackland to get analyzed because they use them for scientific reasons. Well, he's going through the dog, opens up the dog's stomach, sees, while he's doing this, all this, he's smoking a big fat cigar. So I'm watching him. I think I'm like a corporal or a lance corporal at the time, very boot. And I see his hands, and he has the surgical gloves on. There's blood all over his surgical gloves while he's smoking this cigar and doing it. He reaches inside the dog's stomach, takes an undigested, just like a full-out Cheeto out of this dog's stomach and eats it and looks at us and just goes, "What?" And we're just like, "Jesus Christ, dude. What are you doing? Are you about to throw up? Please don't throw up on Mega Chair." So we are in my house. Gus, I'm very disappointed with my dog Gus' behavior. He was going to be in the video. He's laying down on his pillow. Kate's about to throw up on Mega Chair.
Sorry, I'm okay now.
Okay.
I just...
Did you get close?
You told that story the first time, I was okay. And for some reason this time, I just really pictured it.
Yeah.
And that makes me so sick because the thought of...
He was using dog blood like whiskey.
Yeah.
Dick a cigar in, basically.
Yep. That's super gross. Yeah. That's super, super gross. I wonder where that guy is now and what he's doing. I don't want to know.
Doing the same thing.
I don't want to know.
The vet's staying there forever. The doctor, the vet clinic here on Lackland, the dude's been there for like 30 years.
He's like, "Can you keep feeding the other ones Cheetos too?" Like,
yeah.
"You do chili lime next time?" So all gross.
Right. Well, we'll be back on Friday with another episode. You're going to hear from several people. It'll be a different style episode that we're going to do on Friday. Cons will be back with us. It'll be good. Can't wait to see you guys back again on Friday. Thanks again to Starbucks for letting us goof with them.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It's on the retreat.